It's just politics.
Just politics.
I'm Zoe Clark.
I'm Rick Pluta.
That sunny day is here at the state capitol. Deficits behind us. We are looking now at a tidy little budget surplus.
Hundreds of millions of dollars or more. We'll get an official projection a week from today.
When the next state revenue estimating conference meets,
people come to the capitol and watch as economists talk about economic things and come up with an official budget number. If things go as expected, welcome to Surplus City. Certainly, no matter how big the surplus is, there will be more ideas on how to spend it than actual money to spend.
So what's on the list already? Well, how about road funding or more money for schools and universities, which both saw big cuts when Snyder first took office? Democrats also say they want to restore the earned income tax credit and homestead property tax credit. And there will likely be talk about more money for local governments.
These are things that Democrats, as the minority party in the Capitol, would typically have little influence over, but they have a little more political capital to work with right now.
For one thing, it's an election year. If, as expected, Republicans put more money into schools and universities, that becomes harder for Democrats to use those as campaign issues. There's also controversial questions like road funding and auto insurance, issues that aren't likely to get resolved without some measure of Democratic cooperation.
Really, we are faced here, Zoe, with a fiscal, philosophical question. What is a budget surplus?
Yes, ponder the nature of the budget surplus.
Is it a windfall, a happy accident that you can use to spend on some things you've been wanting for a while? That's certainly an attractive prospect in many cases, especially if you're among the merry band of legislators sitting now on the House and Senate Appropriations Committees.
Or is a budget surplus something else?
Give it back! Give me back the money!
Is it an excess of revenue, the result of government overcharging its citizens? Is there an obligation to return it?
And if so, how? Certainly, we're hearing a lot of talk of tax cuts, especially when it comes to the pension tax.
Right. Extending the income tax to pensions is one of the most damaging issues Democrats are prepared to wield against Republicans in this year's elections. A lot of Republicans would like to mitigate, if not completely eliminate, that as a campaign issue.
But for Governor Snyder, our CPA-in-chief, this tax on pensions was also a matter of tax fairness. Remember, 401ks are taxed, but pensions weren't. The governor said not taxing pensions shifted that share of the tax burden to other types of retirement income, to young families. He had to expend a fair amount of political capital to get the legislature's Republican majorities to go along with this.
And it looks like he may have to spend more political capital if he wants to keep the pension tax.
Oh, sure. We're already seeing some Republicans using the pension tax in their primaries, not to mention what Democrats might do leading up to November.
The next 5 or 6 weeks in Lansing set the stage for the rest of the year, an abbreviated legislative year before election campaigns take over everything.
And these events will tee up a lot of the issues we'll hear about in the 2014 races. Now, there's the revenue estimating conference next week, followed by the governor's State of the State address the following week.
Then the governor's budget proposal come early February, which will include his ideas on what to do with the state's extra money.
Right, the surplus. The governor will have to be careful not to overpromise. These are estimates, after all. It is just one of the perils of being the person in charge of the checkbook. But this is certainly a better problem to have than empty pockets in an election year.
Rick Pluta is the Lansing Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network.
Zoe Clark is the resident political junkie at Michigan Radio. It's all-